On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Football on Off the Ball.
And we just showed that bit of resilience that I didn't think this team had, and backbone that I didn't think this team had. So yeah. I've ate me words. I'm eating humble pie, and well, I'm delighted to
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Good evening. This is Tuesday's Off the Ball. You're welcome to day three of talking about Troy Parrott's goal. Today they released the super slow motion of the closing stages of the game in Budapest over the course of the weekend. And at this stage of proceedings, I'm currently in awe of Liam Scales' neck muscles. How he managed to get his body into that sort of right angle extended position is anyone's guess. I've been appreciating that. Also been appreciating the genius of Connor Coventry managing to adjust his knee slide to avoid taking out the goal scorer Troy Parrott and desperately injuring him. We're going to be talking to Connor Coventry himself from 7:30 tonight to talk about the pandemonium in Budapest and just how he managed to adjust the celebration around the goal scorer. Also tonight we're going to be talking to Declan Lynch on the football show to put a bit of context on what the hell happened over the course of the Thursday to Sunday run. We'll be getting his own memories of watching the Mackay goal in 1987, which I guess is what a lot of people have likened the last couple of days to as an Ireland fan, even though there was a greater deal of separation back then. Also tonight we're going to start looking ahead to the Springboks game. Brian O'Driscoll will be with us in studio from 8 p.m. Before the final test of Ireland's November series. Also, we'll be paying close attention to a few games in the world of football tonight. You've obviously got Scotland versus Denmark in a straight shootout for the World Cup. But crucially for the Republic of Ireland, Wales are playing North Macedonia in Cardiff at 7:45 p.m. We need Wales to not win. And Austria are playing Bosnia and Herzegovina in Vienna from 7:45 as well. We need Bosnia to not win that game. So plenty to keep an eye on. We'll be with you live until 10 o'clock this evening. Michael McCarthy is here in studio. Hello, Mick.
Hey, Owen.
Cameron Hill. Hello.
Good evening, Owen. It's Tuesday evening, which means Sunday afternoon wasn't a dream, we can safely say.
Yeah, I mean, yes, we couldn't be fully sure of that yesterday, but I think we can finally come to that conclusion now.
I'm reminded by your intro there of, do you remember if you, they had an anniversary après match night for Italia 90, where they played all the, they had a, you know, because of how overdone it all is, they had the lineup with all these innocuous things of what was coming up, and it was like Chris Morris, Art of the Throw. I feel like we're getting to that point with this goal already, where it's like neck muscle, neck muscles with Liam Scales. Let's analyse this goal even more.
What's your favourite one of Liam Scales' neck muscles?
Well, it's a pity there's no more Daily Edge, because I feel like what part of the Troy Parrott replay, what your favourite part of the Troy Parrott replay says about you as a person is like a list that's ready to go, or a BuzzFeed quiz that was never made.
I make fun of Owen here, and I did watch the super slow-mo that RT put out today, and like about three or four times, and that, you know, a good few people have said it in the punditry about him knocking it down under the goalkeeper and that being important, and it was like there was... Yeah. I think I watched it six times in a row, you know.
We're operating with a beautiful new office in certain parts of this building at the moment. I never usually plug my laptop in, but I plugged my laptop into the big screen today just to watch that super slow-mo on full, you know, glorious HD screen. And I will never use that screen ever again, unless the Republic of Ireland does something special again over the next 4 months or so. I don't think there is anything new in terms of stuff that's happened since, except for a couple of the Irish players showing up to an Amble gig in London last night. I think that was the only new piece of content that we have for you. But we're happy enough dining out on Sunday still. Tomorrow maybe we'll move on as a top of the show talking point. But I think for now we've got to still luxuriate.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, no, well, at least the next couple of hours, the games tonight and the like relevancy of whether we get pot two or pot three in a home semi-final. Like,
yeah,
even that is just very exciting to see how like the next couple of hours develop from both of those games, the Austria-Bosnia-Herzegovina game and Wales-North Macedonia. Like, I think Barney Rene was saying it on the Guardian Football Weekly, one of the many podcasts I had to just ingest yesterday to really get over the kind of fix. But he mentioned that, like, if you ever wanted a linguistic signifier of how international football has been treated over the last forever, like, that even the phrase international break, like it's a sideshow to the main act. We just have to put up with this. It's an unfortunate and regrettable yet inevitable impediment to the real action in the Premier League, like an unskippable YouTube ad. Whereas now, this is the centre of attention, and it shows that when it's good, oh, it's really good.
But it's true, you see.
So enjoyable.
So much of our media, football media, comes from the English perspective, where it is a break, because outside of the Euros and the World Cups, they're automatically qualifying in this day. This is because they finally got their act together after 40, 50, 60 years. You know, and they're just, it's just an automatic thing. It's just a runaround and a conversations about England that nobody's really feeling. And then for the other countries, it's like, you know, we're going from hurtling from one crisis to another often. And, you know, things can be a little bit samey, I suppose. But when you have a week like this, I've been thinking about that, actually, like how big this week is and how amazing it is. And we're just one little small part of it. You can imagine what it's like in Scotland tonight, today. Like, you know, this is like they have their fixture. They have their, like, you know, Ireland versus Northern Ireland 1993 game where, like, it's, we're either in, you know, tonight or we're not. You know, like, that's incredible. Like, the build-up must be just absolutely amazing. I actually have been thinking about Hungary a good bit. Like, you know, and it's like, I know you said that last night. It's like, I know it's Hungary and who cares? But it's like, at the same time, like, just as a football story, if we weren't a part of that, that would be incredible that they had this in their grasp and this, you know, they have this once in a generation player that's come along and, you know, he dominated this game and he's the only one really. And more it reveals that he doesn't have that much around him and it's a bit of a one-man team.
Yeah.
He was trying to drag them single-handedly and then they lost in the last second.
Can I just say one thing? Like, because I've heard that said in a couple of places about the Szoboszlai thing, and there's no question he's the best Hungarian player that's come along in quite some time. But it's not like he's Ronaldo. It's not like, I mean, or he's Messi, that he's of that level where he should be playing at a World Cup. Yeah, I'd love to watch Dominic Szoboszlai at a World Cup, but like he's, what is he in the top five players in the world right now? Is he in the top 10 players in the world right now?
He's probably been in one of the top 5 or 10 players in the Premier League so far this season, which would put him in the top 20 in the world.
Thereabouts.
Like, I mean, like, it's at the moment, like, and he's getting there. He seems to be getting better. So.
I don't think it's any real injustice that he won't necessarily be at a World Cup.
I suppose I don't mean it that way, though. I mean it more in the storyline of how Hungary have, you know, even the crowd, that new stadium, everything about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just something very interesting. Like, I don't think we felt any heartbreak, but a few days on, I can at least sense that it was there now, you know?
Are you forewarning a scenario where, let's say an English manager comes into Hungary and drops Szoboszlai Brady-esque from the squad ahead of the 2028 Euro qualifiers and going to Euro 2028, and suddenly Hungary are the greatest football team to have ever played football?
Yeah, well, there was a
Harry and a few.
there was a little sequence on Sunday afternoon where you're like, God, this guy is really putting a stamp on the game right now. And like, I mean, just to be clear, I'm only kind of making that remark on the back of me hearing that just a few different places. He would be the best player on the Ireland team if he was playing for the Republic of Ireland as well. I'm not denying that. So
I think we have a higher floor than a lot of these countries, but
there is that.
I think what we could do with a, I don't know, international class, if you don't want to say world class, whatever it is, you know, like a top player playing in midfield, which we just never have since, you know, your man.
Let's get things kicked off with the news round this evening. Cameron Hill, you are starting with the under-17s earlier.
Yeah, our reign as the greatest nation to have ever played football is over, Owen. The Republic of Ireland under-17s suffered a disappointing end to their World Cup campaign today. Colin O'Brien's side were beaten 3-1 by Switzerland in their last 16 clash in Doha. Dundalk defender Vinnie Leonard, the scorer of their only goal of that game. Meanwhile, the under-21s are also in action in a Euro qualifier this evening. They trail away to Andorra 2-0 now. So far, Jim Crawford's side, they are heading towards halftime in that one.
This is very disappointing. Earlier, under-17s, obviously we knew that Switzerland were going to be favourites coming into this game. Highly thought of within this competition before coming up against Ireland this evening. And yet when you saw Ireland pull one back to bring it back to 2-1 late in the game, you thought to yourself, God, this is going to be Sunday all over again.
And actually, as it goes, it's turning out to be quite a negative day for Irish international football, and the dream is over.
Brought back down to earth.
Yeah, because the under-21s, I presume you have it there, but 2-0 as I was coming into shooting a couple of minutes ago. Not great against Andorra.
No.
Do you want to tell us a little bit then about this evening's fixtures, Cameron? As I say, we're going to be keeping a close eye on the knock-on implications for the draw on Thursday.
Yeah, and the senior men's squad will certainly be keeping a close eye as well, Owen. So Hamer Halgrimson's side will be in pot two for the playoffs in March if two results go their way. So Austria need to avoid defeat to Bosnia-Herzegovina, and they also need Wales not to win at home to North Macedonia to secure a home advantage in a playoff semi-final. Welsh boss Craig Bellamy was speaking ahead of that game, and he's urged his players to remain calm tonight with the potential for many twists and turns over the course of the game.
We have to be patient as well, and that's the key. And also, you know, because North Macedonia do defend deep, when momentum maybe shifts, because it can, we've seen in every single one of our games, but also we have a thing called VAR now. They're the moments we really... And this is not just our team, every team. It's like, this is part of our game now. This is not going away. And it's going to eat up the game. Certain moments. So if it's going momentum for us and then maybe it turns, we need to recognise that, not just as players, but myself as staff, but also the fans as well. Recognise when we need you the most. Now, last 10 minutes, we always need supporters, of course, and they're very good at that. But can we really be clued on during the game as well?
Yeah, Craig Bellamy speaking there, and as I mentioned earlier on as well, a massive game between Scotland and Denmark at Hampden, which is kicking off at 7:45 as well. So I don't know, is this like a stakes-free sort of evening of watching international football where we can sit back, feed up, see other people go through the stress that we are now free from for 4 months?
Is it stress-free though, because we're worried about whether we... there are stakes, they're just not knock us out of the World Cup stakes, which is kind of nice, I suppose.
Exactly.
But... I do think, outside of the ease of the draw, I'm not sure there's that much of a difference between the teams you've been playing in pot two and pot three, and qualifying in, and, like, you know,
home advantage,
not going away from home is like a massive thing. But I also think there's something about bringing this team for our next game back to Lansdowne that I think is something that should be, like, really desired. You know what I mean? Outside of the home advantage of trying to get through the tie, I think this is something that's just massive about us, like, you know, bring this high to the Aviva Stadium the next time they play.
Yeah, and like you talk about the international break and how we've reached fever pitch on that over the last couple of games. You will get that in the home venue for this Republic of Ireland game.
Yeah.
And I just really hope it's Dublin as opposed to Bratislava or whatever the pot two city will be that Ireland get drawn. I think home advantage is just so, so huge. The stakes are ginormous. And
although we do, Off the Ball Prague would be a pretty good show.
I mean, I'd love that, but I just fear that we wouldn't get another episode of that. Prague would be the last episode of this particular season. So I'm willing to stick with like back-to-back episodes in Dublin and then see you all in Guadalajara, basically, is how I'm approaching it.
Wrapped it out very nicely there. That's a great trip.
Text in here from one listener saying, gutted for the under-17s. Absolutely brilliant campaign. Fantastic to live vicariously through them. It was kind of cool also to, you know, cosplay as a sort of actual qualifiers for a World Cup, even through, you know, 16-year-olds.
It's like, they got to the last 16 in the World Cup. They were very in that game today. Like, they were, you know, they could have, at halftime, you were thinking, oh, Ireland could be the better side here. I think this is a Swiss team that are probably better. But, like, you know, last 16 of the World Cup is pretty good. There's three or four players there that you kind of, and it's not even to name them. I think we all kind of look at a couple who we knew before the tournament, even they're playing men's football and so on, that you kind of think might make it and you have hopes for. But you see other players there that you probably weren't as aware of and you think, oh God, there's some good footballers there, you know, ready to come through. All you need from these teams is they have their experience at a World Cup, which is amazing, getting to the last 16 and so on. And then from an Irish football point of view, you hope that three or four of them, four or five, even in a really ideal world, come true and make it and go to the top level, you know. So I thought we saw enough to be hopeful of that, I have to say.
And I enjoyed the kind of characters, as you say, there's a couple of players in there like Victor Ossinovine, obviously Michael Noonan had a really good tournament, but even Jonathan Ransom, the goalkeeper for Canada the other day, just writes himself into Irish history by being the biggest, you know, beep house.
The worst enemy goalkeeper since the Israeli goalkeeper in 2005 is, you know, 17-year-old kid from Canada.
I know, it's brilliant. It's what you want. And someone compared him to Toto Scilacci today, which means that we will probably have in 20 years' time Jonathan Ransom doing a Taste of Dublin tent with Brady McDonald or something.
What a legacy. I mean, does
Brady McDonald.
Yeah. Let's move on to the rugby then, Cameron. What have you got for us?
Well, Ireland continued their preparations ahead of Saturday's seismic test against South Africa to round off their Autumn Nations series campaign. Aside from Stuart McCloskey, who was ruled out yesterday with a groin issue, the whole squad trained today, including Connacht's South African-born winger Shane Bolton. Assistant coach Simon Easterby was full of praise for what McCloskey brought to the setup this November.
Yeah, Stu's been brilliant. Like he spent a lot of time in camp and not got opportunities. He's never wavered. He's trained unbelievably well when he's been asked to play in the opposition role. And you know, I think we're all really gutted for him that he picked up another injury on the weekend to rule him out of this week. So I think that competition at centre has always been strong. Now with Tom coming in and being able to add a mix at 12 and 13 as well, and then you've got Frawls that could play 12. Jamie Osborne obviously injured, but another player that could play in that position. I think we've got a pretty strong group of players around that 12-13 area, and Stu has added a huge amount across the last couple of years. Sometimes not getting opportunities, but never failing to turn up and prepare the players who do get starts. And you know, credit to him that he's got the opportunity and he's played well, but unfortunately injuries happen and he just needs to go back and play well for Ulster. But yeah, I think he's impressed everyone the way he's gone.
On the Springboks front then, Thomas Du Toit and Grant Williams were up before media today, and Du Toit dismissed the notion that Saturday's clash with Ireland is a grudge match.
I think media and maybe the newspapers would like to throw it that way, but we don't see it that way. I think what we've done well in the last couple of months and the two competitions, we've really taken every match and put it into its individual box and not think about the past too much, you know, good or bad, coming off a good week or bad week the week before, trying to putting the match in its own little box and trying to focus as much as we can on that specific game for that specific week. So, I don't really feel that way in the team at the moment. I don't think the team feels that way. But we are definitely putting a massive emphasis on this week, like we've done for every other week that we've been part of.
Well, they don't need a grudge with Ireland because they have a grudge with the world.
Yes.
The whole world is out to get South Africa. As Razzy Erasmus said, they're not just playing their opponents on the pitch, they're playing their opponents in the boardroom. Of course, the anti-South Africa sentiment has pervaded even the bureaucracy of the sport, and you'd have to feel sorry for them, really.
You do. You do. It really is terrible. Four red cards, I think.
I mean, Makazole Mpimpi, he accidentally turned a guy upside down, yeah, and almost took his head off.
Yeah, you can't deny him a 50th cap for that.
Ludi Jager accidentally, of course, didn't show any sign of tackle technique. And just because the Maastricht one was a bit of a borderline decision doesn't mean that the previous three are all of a sudden thumbs up, stand up guy representative moments.
Do you think Maastricht is like, don't lump me in, I have an appeal. Yes. Why are you lumping me in with them?
You'd have to say that was, it felt like a bit of a harsh one last weekend, but the idea that there's some sort of conspiracy about them, it's something to talk about, I guess.
I find it normal enough that a team would have a kind of a siege mentality, and you know, we talked about the nobody believes in the stuff yesterday and everything like that. Like, that's all fine, but I think some of the stuff with South Africa goes beyond that and goes into like annoying fans on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's just like, look around sport, they never actually are there. You know, even when you're yourself as a fan and you get caught up in the nonsense and around and like
VAR.
In VAR or whatever it is, and then you actually talk to somebody like involved in the game, they're never as worked up about it. Or they're never as conspiratorial, I would say, as you. But the South Africans just seem to be living for this stuff. There's always a problem.
Mm. Like, is there a feeling of us against the world that's passed down from, I don't know, generation to generation, passing, that's now rearing its head here again?
Is this just that, I think, yeah.
Is this just this current crop? Is it based on fact? I'm not quite sure.
I don't think this is based on fact. Like, there is all very well. It's like, how come we're the only ones getting red cards? It was like, well, we're the only ones...
Did we not get a red card 3 minutes into a game against New Zealand? Not too long.
Oh, but that was, you know, that wasn't held up.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to be careful about those things,
sorry.
Because mistakes are only fixed for other teams.
Yeah, sorry, you know. Of course.
Are you buying Du Toit saying that this isn't a grudge match?
I don't know. You see, it's very, everyone's playing their cards very close to their chest, with the exception of Stick yesterday. But the fact that, even the fact that Simon Easterby and James Ryan were doing media today shows, like, those two are very straight shooters. They're not going to say anything that's like remotely controversial ahead of a South Africa game.
Lads, this is straightforward. England are arguably the second best team in the world at the moment. They beat New Zealand last week, straight after Austin Healey on commentary goes, "Oh, it's such a pity we're not playing South Africa this week. We really need to see next week. We really need to see where this team are." There's a reason they picked Ireland. Like, I don't know exactly how that works, but the way their November was set up was, you know, game that doesn't matter, France and Paris. Let's beat France and Paris. We're setting out a marker. We're going for 3 World Cups in a row. Mm. Week off against Italy, Ireland and Dublin. You know what I mean? That's the way it's done. This is the game. This is setting them up for their off season. They're gonna avenge the World Cup plus last summer, and then they're gonna go and have, you know, a day off before they all go back to the European clubs.
Yeah, they won the World Cup. That's what
But there's not enough winning.
No, there isn't. They will never get enough credit.
But great teams don't have enough winning. They always have another chip on their shoulder. Like, I actually don't mind that. Like, I wouldn't criticize them for that.
Do you think Rassie still has a chip on his shoulder from the RTE panel talking about South Africa the night they got smashed by Ireland in 2017? Like
38-3.
Brent Pope and somebody saying that it was like the worst South African performance ever, and there was kind of like giggling at halftime. You know, the way allegedly that sparked a load of fury within South Africa, and that was the night that Razzie decided, I'm going to go home and save their bacon, and left Munster there and then. Like, I wouldn't be particularly surprised if those small moments are still things they think about.
Yeah, I'd say so, because it seems like that character. But I think it's as much with the group and the team this time in terms of whether this is a grudge match. It's like, you are just righting a few wrongs. You've won 2 World Cups in a row. You're going for a third. You're dominating world rugby. You need to kind of just like fix the little things that aren't perfect.
Yeah.
You know, like, and one of them is their recent record against Ireland. You know, the fact that they did like avenge the World Cup in the first test last summer and then went out and didn't beat us in the second test, I think it means that we're still niggling at them. And I would be very worried as an Irish fan that they are very focused.
But they don't
view this week.
They don't view it as kind of things you just have to sort of get right and the little imperfections. These are huge things, like being disrespected because they didn't beat France enough at the World Cup. So we're going to absolutely destroy them in Paris, like they're the bride in Kill Bill just ticking off all their enemies.
Yes. That's a very good analogy.
We have a texter in here before we go to one of your final stories there, just on the football once more. Like, I mean, I just have to bring us back to Troy Parrott again, guys. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I hope Troy Parrott stays in the Netherlands for the rest of the season. He seems to be in a really good place, to which Ireland is benefiting from. Sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. If he wants to move next summer, then fair enough. But I don't think he should move in January, especially in a World Cup year. If he keeps going in this direction, he'll have a lot of suitors next summer. Couldn't agree more than that anymore. Then I couldn't say any more than that. Like, I mean, that is exactly what we want from Paris if Ireland are to go to the World Cup. I admit that that is a completely selfish thing to say. Maybe a January move would be very, very fruitful for him, but the best thing for the Republic of Ireland, if they are to qualify for the World Cup, might be for him to just keep doing exactly what he's doing. And also, we have a texter in counting midfielders that are better than Szoboszlai. They mention Zubimendi, Rice, Caicedo, Tonali and Guimaraes. On to the women's national team, Cameron.
Well, fit again goalkeeper Courtney Brosnan and striker Leanne Kiernan are back in the Ireland senior women's squad. Carla Ward's assembled a 23-player selection for a behind-closed-door friendly against Hungary in Spain on Saturday week. On loan, Sunderland defender Tara O'Hanlon returns after a near 3-year absence, while former Athlone Town striker Kelly Brady has also been called up for the first time. And some bad news for Arsenal fans, though, and defender Gabrielle looks set to be out until the new year at least. The Brazil centre-back suffered a thigh injury in their friendly against Senegal at the Emirates Stadium over the weekend. The club are assessing the extent of the injury, but he has been ruled out of Sunday's North London derby at home to Tottenham at the very least.
Yeah, if you thought that the South Africa us against the world mantra was annoying, well, let me just say two words to you with regards to Arsenal this season. Injury crisis. Yeah.
Poor Arsenal.
Poor Arsenal.
Gabriel's not a player you want to miss.
No, he's literally the most important player to Arsenal so far this season. I think, I'm sticking with that. Yeah, he is the most important
player.
But
when Saliba missed a couple of games, you know, a young fella nobody had ever heard of before came in and was absolutely brilliant. So, death.
Martin in Clonsilla says he had to pull over to message, tell Mick to get the boat. He's nowhere near the top 10 Prem players this year. One goal, a free kick, and only decent performances have come from right back. Dominic Szoboszlai love.
It's
diminishing.
I don't know about top 10, right? I think it's unfair to suggest that he's been in a struggling team that he has been the best player for by a good bit, I would say. And also, like, he was replaced by Wirtz, and there's no chance that Wirtz is getting on. They're accommodating Wirtz without... There's no chance of them dropping Szoboszlai.
Well, McAllister is now being replaced by Wirtz.
Yeah, possibly. And we don't know exactly what way that will work out or what... But I do think Szoboszlai has been the only consistently performing midfielder for Liverpool so far this season. And a good right back too.
Mick and Cameron, thank you very much. That has been Tuesday's News Round. We are speaking to Conor Coventry next. He made his Republic of Ireland debut last Thursday against Portugal in one of the most wonderful ways to make your Ireland debut. So we'll be talking to him about the madness that night, the madness on Sunday in Hungary as well. And before the break, we'll bring in the cash machine.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.